Let's have our Bible readings now, and Sandra is going to come and read to us.
First of all, from Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then we're going on to Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 6a, and then I'll go on straight on to 10 and 11. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations.
So last week, you were thinking about the people that we are, from that passage in Colossians, God's chosen people, God's holy people, dearly loved. And it's important that you know that. You know, there are people who don't know who they are, and it's important that we know who we are in Christ, dearly loved, holy and chosen. My granddaughter is adopted, and if she got bullied, she could say, actually my parents chose me. Yeah, because God has adopted us into his family, he has chosen us. So what should we wear? Well, we're told in verse 9 that we should take off our old clothing and put on new clothing. Now, of course, this is metaphorical. It's about our character and things. But when people are baptized, in some traditions, they do take off their ordinary clothes. In fact, in some traditions in the history, people took all their clothes off when they were baptized. And then when they come up out the water, they put on a new white robe to symbolize that something has changed in their lives. So we put on the nature of Christ. We put off the old self and we put on the new self. But then some people think actually that there are certain things that you should do if you're a Christian. You should wear sandals, you know. You should grow a beard. Jesus had a beard, so I'll grow a beard. You could become a monk and get a tonsure. Some of us don't need to go for that, but you know, there are various things. Should I wear certain things? If you read the literature from the Jehovah's Witnesses, you will see all their pictures show the men in jackets and ties, and the ladies in very sensible plaid skirts just below the knee. You know, so some people have an idea that if you're a Christian, you should wear certain clothes. But what is more important is that we clothe ourselves in Christ, in the things that are mentioned here. So we're going to get straight into those five things. Clothe yourselves with compassion. I didn't have a PowerPoint, did I? No, I didn't. That's all right. That's fine. But if you wanted to, you could go back. But it doesn't matter. People have got their Bibles. That's okay. Clothe yourselves with compassion. What is compassion? Well, the dictionary definition, sympathetic pity and concern for the suffering or misfortunes of others. I think you could call it empathy. It's actually something that connects you with the needs, the feelings of somebody else. Thinking about the word compassion, having passion with, alongside somebody else. Literally, the Greek expression means, and those of you who go for the authorized version of the King James will know this, bowels of mercies. Bowels of mercies, my goodness. But that's what it means, literally. Compassion is about the gut. Do you know, if you're feeling something, emotion, you often feel it in your gut. And so it's a deep word that means we identify with somebody else and their needs. Empathy and care for somebody else. Some people are better at this than others. And I really take my hat off to people who work in the caring profession. I know some of them are here because your job is to provide care and compassion to people in great needs. Karen's brother has just been taken into a nursing home because he's got severe Parkinson's. But the people who are looking after him there are so lovely and caring. They have compassion for the person. Now, Jesus told a story about the Good Samaritan. Do you remember that? And the man that was beaten up by robbers and left for dead. And several people went past him. The priest was far too busy with his religious duties, and the Levite didn't want to touch him because he might be contaminated. But the Samaritan had compassion on him. So I think it's important as well that we realize that having compassion doesn't just mean feeling something in your gut. It means doing something which express your empathy. Caring in whatever way you can, providing support or whatever. So, the clothing we should put on, first of all, compassion. Secondly, kindness. Kindness, otherwise translated as goodness or generosity. Kindness is such an underrated virtue. I don't know whether you've read the books by Charlie Mackesy, The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse. And there's a new one out now. If you haven't, you should. And there's a lovely animated video of it that came out at Christmas the other year. And they are absolutely packed with little gems of statements on every page. And one of them is this. The mole says to the boy, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" "Kind," says the boy. What do you want to be? Kind would be a lovely thing to say you wanted. The horse says, "Nothing beats kindness. It sits quietly beyond all things." Very profound, aren't they? And the mole says, being kind to yourself is one of the greatest kindnesses. And that's something we need to learn too. You know, some people can't be kind to themselves or to forgive yourself or whatever it might be. Be kind to yourself as well as to other people. So kindness, really, really important. How you speak if you're kind is important as well. There's a little saying that says this: before you say something, ask these questions. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And unless you can answer yes to those three questions, don't say it. Yeah, if we were all more like that, I think the world would be a better place. The third one, humility. Dictionary definition, a modest view of one's own value or importance. I do remember the Dad's Army film when they are just mustering troops, when the war has been declared and all the men are coming into the village or the town hall in order to sign up for the war. And it's total chaos. And then Captain Mannering gets up on a chair and shouts a few commands and everybody gets into line and order. And he turns to Wilson and he said, "It's at times of stress that great men come to the fore, Wilson." I can think of, he's clearly a character in a comedy who's portrayed as being not at all modest or humble. I can think of some other people as well, but I won't mention them. Jesus, on the other hand, meekness and majesty. The man who was God stoops humbly to a cross. I mean, you wouldn't have thought that meekness and majesty would go together, but in Jesus they do perfectly. Though he was equal with God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or to be held on to, but he became nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. That's true humility. So if we want to know humility, we need to look at Jesus himself. Gentleness. Another translation of gentleness could be meekness. It's a bit like if you're driving a Ferrari, but you drive it very carefully and gently. You've got all that power, you could put your foot down, but actually you drive it carefully and gently. There is a story, a fable, if you like, about the wind and the sun having an argument. There's a man who has his coat on, and the wind and the sun are arguing as to who can get him to take his coat off first. And so the wind blows harder and harder and harder, and as soon as the wind blows, the man buttons up his coat more and wraps it around him even tighter. And after quite a while of trying, the wind gives up trying to get the man to take his coat off. And the sun says, "Let me have a go." And the sun comes out and shines down in warmth on the man. And as he gets warm, he takes his coat off because he's too hot. You know, which is the best approach? The one that achieved the outcome. So gentleness is very often the most effective way of dealing with a situation. Now, I don't like this one. Patience. I do find that for myself, as I'm getting older, I get more irritated with other people who don't do things my way. I've got a few nods there, that's all right. And in actual fact, those people do things differently to the way I do them. Probably not as well, but sometimes better. Sometimes better. But, you know, we can get irritated with people who are not the same as us. The other thing about patience is wanting to get things done quickly. I'm a completer finisher by character. I love to do a job, finish it, and then do something else. Karen will probably find jobs around the house that haven't been done, but I'll get round to them one day. Well, we have recently been watching a program on television called Patience. It's on Channel 4. It's one of these murder mystery things. And it's called Patience because the young lady who is the centre, she's a police investigator, is called Patience. But she's autistic. So she does things a different way. She sees the world in a different way to people who are, who see the way, I won't use the word normal, but she sees it differently. And her boss is very impatient with her because she doesn't understand her. Whereas actual fact, she is brilliant at seeing through a problem and solving it in a way that we couldn't. But she also finds it difficult because people don't understand her, and she doesn't understand the way they will say something, and she will take it a wrong way. So it's a good program, actually. It's got a bit of murder in it, but if you would just ignore the sixth commandment for a minute. But it's important because the next verse, and I'm not going to steal the thunder of whoever's preaching next week, is about bearing with one another. And that's where you need patience. We're not the same. We don't think the same. We don't do the same. But we are told here to bear with one another, especially in a community like a church where we need to get on. We are one in Christ. We are all dearly beloved, holy, and we are all trying to put on these garments. But we sometimes rub each other up the wrong way, don't we? Does that happen in your church? No, of course not. But now the question is, how do we put on these clothes? Well, first of all, as I said before, all of these clothes are seen in Jesus. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, that is what we see: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and many other things. And of course, love is coming on in the next bit. Should go without saying that all of these things stem from the most important virtue, which is love. So we look at Jesus and we see an example in him. Secondly, kindness, goodness, and patience are all part of the fruit salad. Now, do you remember when we did a series on the fruit of the Spirit? And I said, well, it's not different types of fruit. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It is the fruit. But it's like a fruit salad because all the different fruit is mixed together and we have to eat all of it. We don't just pick out the grapefruit if we don't like grapefruit. We have to eat the whole thing. Do you see? So when we look at the list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, we find some of these items are mentioned there. And if the Spirit is living in us, it should be developing fruit. That's right, isn't it? If I plant an apple tree in my garden, it should develop fruit. Yeah, we planted an apple tree 5 years ago when we moved into our house. We bought it from Ilminster Hardware, and it was meant to be a Cox's Orange Pippin. Unfortunately, the apples are, well, they're not unfortunately, but they're big, they're red, and they're pointed. They're not Cox's Orange Pippin at all. But they're still apples, and it's now producing fruit. But I want to just look here. Clothe yourselves with. That implies that in order to put this clothing on, there is some responsibility from us. God is not just going to throw the robe of righteousness at us. We have to take some responsibility to actually put it on, although he provides it. You know, there's one of the parables that I always thought was rather unfair. And it's the parable about the man who turns up at a banquet because he's invited by the king. And when he gets into the banquet, the king says, that man's not wearing the right clothes. Kick him out into the darkness. Whoa, poor chap. Perhaps he couldn't afford the clothes. But actually, the king had provided the clothes. All the man had to do was to put them on to be able to come into the banquet. So the clothing is provided for us by God, but we have to put it on. And that's why the title of today's talk, which was given to me, is Some Virtues to be Cultivated. You know, it's all very well planting your apple tree, but you've got to cultivate it. You've got to prune it. You've got to feed it. You've got to water it. You've got to allow that tree to grow before it will bear fruit. So these things, although they are a gift, they are the fruit of the Spirit, we have a responsibility to make sure that we put them on. And that involves sometimes taking stock of what our lives are like. When did I last annoy my wife? Well, it happens quite often. Why did I? Maybe what I said wasn't kind. I need to think about that. Was it necessary? Was it kind? You know, we look back and then we reflect and we hope that we will develop that fruit even more. Maybe cut something off in order to make it grow more more productively. You see, the fruit is the direct outworking of love itself. And that's really going on to next week's sermon, so I won't. But I'm going to end with a story which was told by a member of our church in Fivehead. Now, sadly, John is very ill at the moment, John Crosland. He's got a kind of blood cancer, and he's got to go to Bristol for a four-week intensive treatment where he won't be able to see anybody else because he would make him very vulnerable. So he's doing that. But when he's preached at our church, he's an airplane instructor. He instructs pilots. So he's involved in training pilots, and he was in the RAF. And what he said really struck me. When he joined the RAF, he was given a uniform to wear. And when he first put it on, it felt very stiff and uncomfortable, and he didn't like it. He had to get used to it. But he said, once I got used to that uniform, it gave me my identity. Once I got used to wearing it, I knew that when I put that uniform on, who I was, a member of the RAF, and that identified me, who I am. And I think exactly the same. Some of these things might seem uncomfortable to us. Some of us, humility might not come that comfortably. Other people, you need to know more that actually you're better than you think you are. But as we put it on, it defines who we are. We are who we are because the King Jesus has given us a robe of righteousness. That is a gift. We have not earned it. We have not put it on ourselves. We've not sort of made it ourselves. But we need to put it on. And we need to cultivate it. We need to grow. And we need to be more who we are meant to be in Christ. How could that happen? By his grace. By his grace he has poured out upon us. So let's say the words of the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.